Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Point Fantasy Football Show. It is NFL Week 11 on this Sunday morning. Some good matchups to get us started. I am Brandon Robertson. I'm joined by Taha Rahman. We are locked and loaded and ready to get into some fantasy football talk. So hit us up with questions on Twitter using hashtag to the point two. Feel free to throw out any type of questions. We're here and eager to help you set your fantasy lineups. So we're going to get started talking about injuries. We will be updating you with those throughout the show. It is a laundry list of injuries. We'll also talk about trending topics going on around the league. Hop into grab a clipboard versus grab a helmet. We have our Twitter talk, different questions that we've been getting about lineups. We encourage you to send those in. Got a Fab Five, bold predictions, and then we will end it off with our special delivery. So, like I said, NFL Week 11, a lot to jump into, and I'm going to try to talk through, like I said, some of these injuries, man. Just so many injuries going on. So, Taha, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. I'm just trying to get ready for another week of football. And, you know, the Bengals, you know, play Sunday night after that bad loss. You know, I'm excited to watch what they do, how they bounce back. Because that's the key to a good team, how you bounce back after a loss.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the NFL didn't do them no favors. They got Arizona, so I wouldn't I wouldn't be too sure about an easy bounce-back win. It's going to be a damn good game, but I think, in my opinion, this will probably be their toughest matchup. So they damn sure didn't. NFL slick, man. They didn't do them any favors by putting them on another primetime spot against arguably the best team in NFC, in my opinion. I mean, I know Carolina's undefeated, but Arizona is pretty fierce. So that's going to be an interesting Sunday night matchup. Are they in Cincy or Arizona?
They're in Cincinnati.
Okay. Well, that's good. So they're at home. And so they get Arizona road on the road, so that's going to help. Oh, man, Carson Palmer and his old stomping ground. Palmer versus Dalton.
and Gresham is back to his old stomping ground, so, you know, that might be a sneaky play if you're needing a tight end this week. I think he's going to try to do something versus his old team.
So Jermaine Gresham, he's in Arizona now. Forgot about that. Did he start over there?
Yep. It's kind of weird. They use him as a blocking back, but last week he got a couple of targets, and it's weird with him. They use that Fellas guy a little bit, but I think versus Cincinnati, he's going to try to show out. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. Players love to kind of stick it to their former team, so that definitely will be a good Sunday night matchup. So let's dive into some of these injuries. Like I said, very, very long list. Getting started first in the Chicago game, kind of some of the most notable injuries. Running back Matt Forte of the Chicago Bears looks like he will be out again. Jeremy Langford, go ahead and step up again. I mean, he's been playing well, so I don't think a lot of people are bummed about that unless you own Matt Forte. This morning, a scratch that we got, Alshon Jeffrey, wide receiver, is expected not to play today. And Taha pointed out something good before the show that it is snowing in Denver, so it might have been a really tough matchup weather-wise and defense-wise. Alshon looks like he will probably sit. Other injuries, obviously last week we saw Philadelphia quarterback Sam Bradford go down, so Mark Sanchez gets the start in his place. Tight end for the San Diego Chargers, Ladarius Green, he is expected to sit out today as a bum ankle, still not ready. Now, Tampa Bay wide receiver Vincent Jackson may be making a return. Looks like he will be back. He has been out for, man, I want to say about a little over 4 weeks. So it will be good to get him back. Evans could use a little help. He's been fighting a lot of double coverage, so that should boost up Evans' stock, in my opinion. let's see, other injuries. Darren McFadden, been nursing a groin injury all week, but it looks like he should play today. Dallas gets Miami Dolphins. My man Tony Romo's back. I am officially excited to watch Dallas play. So we'll see how that goes. quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, Colin Kaepernick, was placed on IR. To me, very strange. I mean, maybe this was a story that was going around. I just didn't hear it and been a little preoccupied lately. But all of a sudden, he's having some type of season-ending shoulder surgery. And it's weird because he was benched roughly about 2 weeks ago. And all of a sudden, he's on IR and the issue with the shoulder, and they've been talking about his contract, and we're going to kind of dive into that a little bit and see what his what could happen with Colin. But that's just, I don't know, man, it's just sketchy. You know, kind of like, you know, last week, you know, one of my bold predictions was Peyton Manning would have his worst game of the season, and he did. And then all of a sudden, after the game, maybe like 2 days later, they say, oh, well, you know, Peyton Manning has a lacerated or injured foot or some just random injury. I'm like, okay, did that hurt the week before practice or before the game? You know, I mean, these teams get fined when they withhold information about players' physical being. You know, so, I mean, I don't – these just these phantom injuries all of a sudden kind of popping up. They just seem pretty convenient. So, Todd, so any shocks or comments on some of the injuries that we got going on around the league?
Yeah, I mean, that Peyton Manning injury all of a sudden, that I knew he was kind of battling that plantar pharyngitis or whatever they call that stuff, but, like, I mean, he played terrible, man. I mean, you can't just – it just seems like all these injuries are now a big deal once they start playing terrible. They don't want to make their quarterbacks lose their confidence. Same thing with Tony – not Tony Romo, Andrew Luck, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, I would say that let's give it to this Chiefs defense. They've been playing good. How about that? I mean, they've been playing amazing. I mean, Payne didn't help the cause, and then he just got into it, but – yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much to believe. Let's just say that.
good point. Good point. Yeah, it's like I said, they're just sketchy. They just seem very sketchy. All right, so let's look at some of the matchups they got going on today. So in the early games, we have Detroit Lions going against the Oakland Raiders. Oakland is one of those young hot teams that showed a lot of promise, and they come against the Detroit team coming off one of the biggest wins in their franchise, in my opinion. I mean, they hadn't won in Lambeau since the Barry Sanders days, and they just beat Green Bay at home, which is one of the toughest things to do. So Detroit and Oakland should be a really interesting game. We got the return of Tony Romo for Dallas Cowboys going against the Miami Dolphins. That game kicks off at 12. You know, hopefully it's a high-scoring affair. We got the Jets and the Texans playing. And I can honestly say I don't know who the quarterbacks are going to be in those games. I mean, I know Fitzpatrick was banged up for New York. I don't know if he's starting. And for the Texans, I mean, who the hell knows who their quarterback's going to be. I know they signed Brandon Weeden. Maybe Brandon Weeden plays. I don't know. We'll see. Then also we have Carolina Panthers going against the Washington Redskins. Redskins secondary's been horrible, but their offense is they found some life. We got the Rams against the Baltimore Ravens, the Bears against the Broncos, and the Colts against the ATL Falcons. Hasselbeck making a start today. From the noon games, oh, I'm sorry, Eagles and Tampa Bay, but, you know, who gives a shit about Philly, really, honestly. So, Taha, who are you excited to see in those 12 o'clock games?
See, when I was looking at the 12 o'clock games, I think one game that kind of interests me a little bit is that Atlanta Colts game. Atlanta this year start off real hot, right, Brandon? And then they start losing to teams they're not supposed to lose to. Like, they shouldn't lose to those teams. Saints, for example, mm-hmm. you know, that was the beginning. And I wonder what they're going to do versus the Colts. And Hasselbeck hasn't been terrible. They won a game with Hasselbeck. I want to see that game. I think that's going to be a high-scoring game because let's just be honest. I mean, Atlanta's defense has always been terrible. They can hype it up like, oh, look, they're playing better, and look at us getting these old guys out of their prime on our team. And Colts' defense is nothing to write about. So I hope that's a high-scoring game. So that's the game I'm going to be paying attention to big time at the 12 o'clock game.
Yeah, I would like to see Julio Jones and Devontae Freeman get back going. And in order for that to happen, Matty Ice, I mean, Ryan's been quiet, man. Matt Ryan's been really quiet. And when he's quiet, that affects Julio. That affects Devontae. I mean, thank God for PPR leagues. I mean, Devontae catches a lot of passes, but as far as just, you know, gaining, you know, yards on the ground, that offense doesn't go if the passing game is not right. So I would be excited to see, like I said, you know, Matt Ryan get back on track, and I think that's going to be important. Now, the second half of games are pretty set up nice. You got the Kansas City Chiefs versus San Diego Chargers. We got the Green Bay Packers and Minnesota Vikings. And then we have 49ers and Seattle Seahawks. And like I said, I mean, that game used to have so much. I mean, it used to be big time, man. I mean, that was up there with, like, Baltimore and Pittsburgh. You know, that was a hard-hitting, hard-fought, you know, 13-15 game. But, you know, two different teams, and not just on San Francisco's part, but Seattle, too, man. I mean, Seattle's look very mortal, you know. They're just not as scary as they used to be. So, got San Francisco and Seattle going on, and then we got a big one tonight, the Bengals and the Cardinals, and then finishing off Monday with Patriots and the Bills. So I expect New England to kind of run over them. What about the Green Bay and Minnesota game? Well, what are we looking at fantasy relevant wise in that game?
Oh, I am super excited about that game. I am trying to see what my boy, you know it, Brandon, I'm going there, what my boy Adrian Peterson going to do. He has been hot lately, folks, and he is running the ball like AP should be running the ball. So it's exciting. I'm going to be watching that game. I want to see what AP can do. That's the game that I'm paying attention to. And then, man, I mean, you look at this schedule and you say, what is Aaron Rodgers going to do after two losses? What is the receivers going to do? Are they going to get separation? The stats said they're the slowest wide receiver core around. So are they going to get separation this week? So I want to see – I'm excited to see AP, and then I also want to see what Aaron Rodgers does.
Yeah, I want to see if Aaron Rodgers continues to struggle. Minnesota, you know, decent defensively. You know, the headlines have brought up that Aaron Rodgers hasn't been that good against Zimmer, head coach for the Minnesota Vikings. You know, he's always found a good way to contain Aaron Rodgers. So coming off the struggles, you know, the deal with the wide receivers and then going on the road to a division opponent, you know, let's see if Aaron can rise to the occasion. But, you know, it's not a gimme game for them anymore. I think the Packers, they're really going to have to earn it. I mean, there are no more gimme games. And they've been able to beat people, you know, just due to their name sometimes. You know, they can psych people out. So, oh, man, Green Bay's coming to town. We got to go against Aaron Rodgers, a bad man. And, you know, that, you know, they're looking very beatable this year, you know, extremely beatable. So, like I said, we'll keep an eye on that. That should be a pretty good game going on tonight. So, now, we mentioned the injury of Colin Kaepernick, and there's a headline going around that San Francisco is open or interested in dealing him, you know, possibly trade him out of there. There's been no surprise that, you know, obviously things didn't work out in San Fran, and he's been benched for Blaine Gabbert. which that's an all-time low. And, you know, now being put on IR, ended his season. And so I have some theories on what could happen with him, but I wanted to get your take on what do we think happens for Colin Kaepernick? What's the next stop?
I just think it's going to be hard for them to get a trade with Colin Kaepernick just because you're trading that contract and nobody wants to take that contract, even though it's a pretty friendly contract for the team where it's like you got to renegotiate every year. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a contract where it's like you're stuck with the player. So it's just like a one-year contract on and on and on. I think Colin Kaepernick's going to get cut. I don't think he's out of the NFL. I think a team will sign him, pick him up, but they're going to get a friendlier contract than what he is slated to get. So I don't think they're going to be able to trade Colin Kaepernick. That's just my belief.
No, I agree with that. I do not think they're going to be able to trade him. That contract, way too handsome. I do believe they'll probably cut him. I also believe he will play in the NFL again. The quarterback position is way too precious. And out of 32 teams, there's really only, you know, five dependable quarterbacks. The next five are decent. And then after 10, it's just shit. It's just hopefully they have a good day. So I think he definitely will get another shot. He will sign with someone else. Too young, too talented, and he's shown success. I guarantee some GM will say, oh, he's done it before, he could do it again. And that's just the way the NFL works. Now, if two things. One, if Chip Kelly doesn't get fired in Philly or leave, because he could leave, I don't believe that he is just completely loyal to Philadelphia. So if he doesn't get fired and if he doesn't leave, because that's always an option, then I can see Philadelphia taking a shot on Colin Kaepernick. You know, with Sam Bradford getting hurt like we all predicted, and I'm just surprised that Philly, you know, went out on a limb to think that he would not get hurt again. I think that could be the deciding thing that either gets Chip fired or makes Chip leave. But after the season, they're going to need another QB. And if Sanchez could play well, I think Sanchez could probably end up going somewhere else, or they keep him on. Either way, they're going to need another QB to come in there. So I think that's where you look at a guy like Colin Kaepernick. So I could see him in Philadelphia, but I think he definitely will get another shot. I just don't think the NFL is done with him.
Yeah, with me, I think the place that he gets a shot at is Buffalo, Brandon. I think sexy Rexy is going to try to take a shot at him. I mean, he has Tyrod Taylor, which is awesome. But, I mean, let's just be honest. Colin Kaepernick has a little more talent than him. And I think they can simplify the playbook. And Colin needs to play behind a good defense. I mean, that's what makes Colin Colin, where he doesn't have to make all the plays. He can just go out and let his natural ability take over. And the whole, like, all the stress is not on his shoulder. You know what I'm saying? So I really do think Buffalo's there. And I know Buffalo's defense has been terrible this year, folks, but that's a good defense. They're getting used to Rex's system of getting after the quarterback and stuff like that. They got way too much talent on that team to be terrible. So it's just a matter of time, I think.
Yep, good point. But like I said, we both agree that, you know, the NFL, they are not through with Colin Kaepernick, not through with him. So, all right, so we'll continue to update you guys on injuries. One of the most recent injury news that came across, wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, Emmanuel Sanders, a little banged up last week, and, you know, he was doing warm-ups today. He looked a bit uncomfortable. As of now, looks like he's still scheduled to play, but that could change. If it does, we'll update you on it. So definitely going to keep an eye on Emmanuel Sanders. And, you know, he's going to be needed today because, Brock Osweiler, not a rookie anymore. I think this is, what, his second season? But Brock Osweiler, I'm sure I'm saying his name wrong, gets the start today in Denver. And Taha, I think Brock is, what, 7'8"? Tall guy.
He's pretty tall.
He's pretty big. So shouldn't have any problems seeing the field. So hopefully his arm can make some plays. But he's going to start today. So I don't know. The initial reaction is that, you know, if you own Demarius or if you own Emmanuel, you're like, oh, shit. You know, you got a, you know, unproven guy. But, I mean, Peyton Manning hadn't been, you know, setting the world on fire. Maybe this guy could be an upgrade. You know, maybe he'll come in and throw more and he'll stop changing plays at the line like Peyton does. So I don't know. I'm going to keep an eye on that. I was almost tempted to grab Brock and throw him into a fantasy lineup. But, you know, I was like, who am I kidding? You know, let me see it first. But we'll keep an eye out on it. So, all right, so let's go to our first segment. Grab a clipboard, grab a helmet. We got a QB, some wide receivers, and a tight end. No running backs this week, so should be pretty good. So we're going to kick off with the first player. We got quarterback, Seattle Seahawks, Russell Wilson. We talked about Seattle going against San Fran. Division matchup used to be a really big game, not so much anymore. So what do we think about Russell today, Taha? Are we giving him a clipboard or are we giving him a helmet?
See, when I'm looking at this, I'm going to look at stuff historically, and I think – you know, everything trends, you know. I mean, people kind of follow how they've been their whole life, and Russell Wilson plays San Francisco good every time he does. And with that said, I have Russell Wilson as one of my top five QBs this week. So I'm guessing Russell will be a top dog this week, so he is a must-start for me. So I would give him a helmet.
Wow. So you put Russell in your
top five QBs this week.
All right. Wow. Man. Well, I mean, I'm not that high on him. I mean, Russell to me has been a disappointment this year. I mean, he was really supposed to take the next step. You know, they went out, they got Jimmy Graham for him. You know, he already had an elite defense. He had a top running back. They went and got him, you know, one of the most valuable weapons in a passing game, in my opinion, more valuable than a wide receiver. Yeah, Jimmy Graham, you know, and I thought that would just take him to the next level. And it just hasn't been the case. Yeah, I mean, he's thrown, and, you know, and this probably is not talked about as much, but Russell Wilson has, what, 7 interceptions?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's in the last 4 weeks, he's thrown an interception in every game, right? And the last time he played San Francisco, he threw 2 interceptions. So the only game this year that he has 2 interceptions is versus San Francisco. So, I mean, he goes out and helps them win. I will say that, you know, for the most part. But I just don't think his not his best, but – his good game is still not enough from a fantasy standpoint, in my opinion, to show him relevant. His best game this year was in week 2. All right, that was a little over 30 fantasy points. That was versus Green Bay. But other than that, I mean, he's giving you 19, you know, 24, 25. And from a QB standpoint, I mean, that's small, man. That's really, really light. So I say clipboard. I'm not buying that. I think they're going to win. He'll beat San Francisco and he'll play well. He'll get you 22 points. And that's still too low. there's better options. You know, you take Cutler, you take Tyrod Taylor, shit will put up more than 22 points on New England. So now I'm going to give him a clipboard. I'm just, I don't know. I mean, would you say that, I mean, Russell's been disappointing? I mean, what do you think this year?
Absolutely. I think Russell was the fourth quarterback taken in most drafts, you know, behind Andrew Luck, who has been disappointing, Aaron Rodgers, and then, you know, Russell was right there at number 3, you know, number 3, number 4, and he's been terrible, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
We just had high expectations for him. Yeah, we had high expectations for him, and, I mean, it was just like, you know, he was going to be the guy to take the next step. He was the guy that can give you points, running the ball, right? He can make plays with his leg, and, you know, we felt like he can make plays with his arm, and, you know, it's been erratic, man. Now, his offensive line is atrocious. They are terrible, you know, so he's not getting a lot of time. He is getting hit a lot. But he's turned the ball over. He's turned the ball over consistently in games. And for Russell, protecting the ball, giving him a solid run game and good defense is what has led him to these Super Bowls. And he's not getting, you know, he's not getting that this year overall. So, I don't know. I just think a big disappointment. Now, the next guy on the list, we got wide receiver for the New England Patriots. We got Brandon LaFell. Get a lot of questions about Brandon LaFell. Get a lot of love for him. And with Edelman being out, at least for, I guess, 4 to 6 weeks, now I am open to talking about Brandon LaFell. But before then, I was just like, why are we talking about this guy? So, Taha, what do we think about LaFell? We giving him a helmet or a clipboard?
I mean, with the situation, Monday football, I mean, he's your Monday night ray of hope. You have to give him a helmet. You have to see what he's going to do. His project, he's been getting a lot of targets already. You know, if he gets a couple more targets, I mean, if he gets about 10 targets, you know, that's a safe wide receiver two play, you know, in any league. So I say you got to give him a helmet.
Yeah, I agree. I think you give him a helmet as well. You know, with Edelman going down, you know, his production has to be on the upswing. I think Brandon gets more looks, and, you know, they're going to look to him to kind of lead that wide receiver group. But I'll look for, like, you know, Amendola, Dobson, you know, look for those guys to get in the mix and, you know, get some targets as well. But I think Gronk and LaFell, they just become key for that offense because think about it, with Deion Lewis going down, Deion Lewis was a guy that got a lot of looks in the passing game, even though he was a running back. He was like an upgrade over Shane Vereen's position from last year. So with Lewis out, with Edelman out, you got to look LaFell or Gronk, LaFell, Amendola, Dobson, and so on and so forth. So I agree. I think you give him a helmet. So, LaFell, go ahead and throw him out there. Now he's relevant. Now we can talk about that guy. All right, next guy on the list. Tight end for the Washington Redskins, Air Jordan Reed. Really good player, struggles with injuries. It's always something with this kid, and it's just unfortunate. But when he's on the field, extremely productive. I mean, you know, last week found the end zone twice, week before that found the end zone, week before that found the end zone twice. I mean, so basically in the last, what, three games, he has like 5 touchdowns, which is insane because he hadn't scored a touchdown since week 1 and, you know, went like 3 to 4 weeks with zero. And, you know, last couple of weeks he's just been a touchdown magnet. So what do we think about Jordan Tyler? Are we giving him a helmet or a clipboard?
See, Jordan plays a position where he has to get a helmet, in my opinion. I hate giving away this many helmets, but he's playing at the tight end position. And with the tight end position, without Gronks, without, you know, without those guys that you know, Tyler Eifert and stuff like that, you pretty much have to play Jordan Reed because Jordan Reed's better than any other option you're going to get. Even though he's going versus that Carolina defense, which is a little scary, I think you have to play Jordan. I don't see any ways that you can't play Jordan, so I would say give him a helmet.
Yep, gold star for Taha. Man's right. I mean, you know, tight end-wise, I mean, there's a handful of guys that you can play, and Jordan Reed is one of those guys. And I just read that, you know, he's giving you 5 touchdowns in 3 games. I mean, what other tight end – hell, what other wide receivers done that? You know, so from the tight end standpoint, you gotta play Jordan Reed. I mean, you just got to play him, you know, unless you – now, if you got Gronk and Jordan Reed, which is just rare, you know what I mean, then, you know, well, it doesn't matter. You're good either way. But, you know, if you're trying to decide, oh, man, Jordan Reed or Jerrard Cook, I mean, you know, Jared Cook, yeah. I mean, yeah, you got to go Jordan Reed. I mean, it's just that's a no-brainer. So I agree. Two helmets for Jordan Reed. I mean, if Aaron was on, he would agree as well. All right. Next player on the list, wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders, talented rookie out of Alabama, Amari Cooper. Now, Oakland, they're going against the Detroit Lions. Like I said, Detroit coming off a huge win against Green Bay and Lambeau. And they get to draw the red-hot Derek Carr and the Oakland Raiders. So, Taha, are we going to give Cooper a helmet or are we going to give him a cleat forward?
I think the reason that Amari's on this list right now, Brandon, you know, in retrospect, if you look at his stats over the year for his season, you would say, well, this guy's got to start on your team every week. It's because of the emergence of Michael Crabtree. Michael Crabtree's just been a more consistent wide receiver week in, week out for Oakland, and Amari Cooper's been a 30-point guy. If you look at his last, I think, four games, I don't have the stats in front of me, he's been like 35, 8, 30. You know, he hasn't been as consistent, so people are scared to play him. This week, I have Amari Cooper as one of my top five wide receivers. I think he's also a must start. I think he bounces back this week. Very juicy matchup. I like Amari Cooper a lot, and I like his quarterback a ton this week. He might be one of my favorite quarterbacks this week, Derek Carr. So if I have Derek Carr there, I have to choose one of the receivers, and I'm choosing Amari this week over Michael Crabtree. So I give him a helmet on that.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a helmet as well. A slight adjustment. I mean, I think, to me, Derek Carr is one of my top five quarterbacks this week. I think because of Derek Carr, because of the matchup, I think Cooper and Crabtree will have good games today. But you were right about Cooper. You know, 1 week he's giving you 25, 1 week he's giving you 9, another week he gives like 22, next week he gives like 12. So, yeah, up and down, you know, but what I look at, you know, 9 targets, 13 targets, 9 targets, I mean, he's still getting the looks, you know, and Derek has faith in him, and they know long-term that Cooper and Carr, the CC connection, this is going to have to be it, right? It's going to be them. They're the young guns of this organization, so they're going to make it work. So I think Cooper, he finds the end zone, he has a good day, but also I think Crabtree still puts up good numbers as well. Crabtree's a talent, man. He's just been playing with that sporadic offense in San Fran. You know, they like to pound the ball, or they used to like to pound the ball and then throw it every once in a while, but that just wasn't working. And now Crabtree's in the offense with a good quarterback, and he's just, you know, people are like, wow, Michael Crabtree, you forgot about it. So I do like Cooper today. Detroit gives up the 6th most fantasy points to wide receivers. So I think both of them will have a big day. So, yeah, let's go ahead and give Cooper a helmet. So we got two helmets for Cooper, two for Reed, two for LaFell, and we're split on Russell. So, I mean, you know, not bad. Good list. I mean, you know, valid players and questions out there, and we understand why. Now, the next one, another wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks, we got Doug Baldwin. So, Taha, helmet or clipboard?
Clipboard. I mean, Doug Martin is a smoke. I mean, this guy is like he is, no, clipboard. That's all I'm going to say about him. Don't fall in the hype of Doug Baldwin. He's just going to break your hearts in fantasy. So, no Doug Baldwin for me this week.
Here's where I agree with him. I'm going to say give him a clipboard as well. Doug Baldwin is coming off probably one of the best games he's had of his career, okay? It was against Arizona, so it was completely unlikely. It was against one of the toughest secondaries in the league. Baldwin had 10 targets, 7 catches, 134 yards, and a touchdown. If you go through his stats for the season, probably for his career. He doesn't sniff this day, right? It just doesn't happen. So we're looking for Doug Baldwin to do an encore off of that amazing performance, and I just don't think he could come close to it. I just don't think he can touch it. And what's crazy is that San Francisco, they are very generous to wide receivers in fantasy. And I still don't think he's going to come close to that. So, if he does it twice in a row, fantastic. You can all call me idiots. You can do what you want. But I'm playing the log average. Doug Baldwin, he's just not that guy. He's just not that guy. I mean, three receptions. This is his numbers, three receptions. He hasn't caught more than three receptions since week two. We're in week 11, okay? I mean, so, hey, look, the solar eclipse hasn't happened, right? It's got to at least happen. So I'm not banking on this guy unless you are just desperate. But even then, I think there's other wide receiving options better than Doug Baldwin. So I'm not falling for this banana in the tailpipe. I'm going to say clipboard. I'm not buying it. No helmet for Baldwin. So we got two clipboards for him, and then we're going to close it out with another wide receiver. And, man, this fucking guy here, Ted Ginn Jr. I mean, if it wasn't for Carolina or if it wasn't for Kelvin Benjamin getting hurt, this kid might not even be in the league. But he just won't go away. Ted Ginn, helmet or clipboard, what do we think?
I actually surprisingly like Ted Ginn this week. I think he's going to get a touchdown. I think if he gets a touchdown this week, that means he scores 15 points because he doesn't get short touchdowns, right? He's been pretty terrible, I understand, Brandon. But for some reason, I don't know if it's gas or if it's a gut feeling, but I like Ted Ginn this week. I don't know what it is.
It could be a little heartburn. I don't know
what it is, but I like Ted this week, so I'm going to say I like Ted this week. Let's just go with that.
That's funny. Ginn, look, you got that tickle in your stomach because he's going against the Redskins. That's why you got that. I mean,
Maybe that's what it is. D'Angelo Falls.
You know, D'Angelo Falls Part 3, the saga continues. I mean, Ted Ginn, look, 10 targets, 2 receptions. 7 targets, 2 receptions. 9 targets, 4 receptions. Oh, my God, man. I mean, it's 4 targets, 1 reception. I mean, this is, you know what? We asked the question, why does Cam Newton, you know, he's winning all these games, he's an MVP candidate, but he has a QBR rating of, like, 50 because of Ted Ginn Jr. Like, this is the reason he has shit to throw to. This is why his QBR is probably so freaking low, you know. But, you know, here's the thing about Ginn, right? The last 3 weeks, bad game. Every 3 games, it's like he'll give you something. Like, every 2-3 games, he gives you something. So I agree with Taha. It's a good matchup for him. He'll probably catch a touchdown. He probably won't have a big number today, but he'll probably catch a touchdown. Hell, knowing him, he'll probably return a touchdown. I know you can't depend on that, but he's that type of player. So just because of the matchup and the little 3-week trend, I'll give him a helmet as well. But I'm not excited about it, I'll tell you that much. So, all right, I'll go ahead and give him a helmet. So we got 2 helmets for Ginn. Ah, oh, man, that fucking kid, I tell you. All right, so good segment, right? So we had some good questions there. Like I said, you can continue to hit us with questions using hashtag to the point two. We make sure to answer those questions on Twitter. And that brings us to the next segment, Twitter Talk, where we answer you guys' questions and, help you out with your lineups. So we have a lot of time before kickoff, about 2 hours before, so we're going to jump into Twitter Talk and see if we can grab some questions. And while Taha looks for those, let's see if we got any updates on injuries. Let me check around. Let's see. The last update was the deal with Emmanuel Sanders. Keep an eye on him. Also in that Cardinals game tonight, Michael Floyd, he should be limited. He's dealing with a hamstring injury, and Mike Floyd coming off some good performances. But also wide receiver John Brown, he has a hamstring issue as well, but he's expected to play. So Brown obviously probably a better player over Floyd just because of health. But, you know, keeping an eye on that wide receiver core for Arizona. And, all right, that's all we got on injury. So what do we have on Twitter this week?
All right, on Twitter, we got a few questions. I'll start with the first one. Eric Decker or Randall Cobb, who do you like this week?
All right, let's see. With Decker, Jets, we got the Jets going against the Texans. And for Green Bay, we got Minnesota. Now, here's the thing. In name, you would think just Cobb straight up, you know, because of name. But let's be honest, man, Cobb has been underwhelming the last couple of weeks, and Decker's been on fire. Last 3 weeks, I mean, he's found the end zone each and every time. He has caught 6 receptions like freaking clockwork for about 4 weeks straight. And he's been averaging about 8 to 12 targets a week, okay? 20, 19, 18, 16. I mean, even in a low game, he gave you 13. So I say Eric Decker. Eric Decker is a solid number 2. And with Brandon Marshall on the opposite side, Eric Decker is a guy that you can count on. So I go Eric Decker opposed to Cobb.
Cobb's been terrible this year, man. He has been terrible. And, you know, my feelings say that you start Cobb, okay? And you know what we know about feelings. They're always wrong. And if you've ever been in a bad relationship, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So with that being said, you know, I'm going to go with Decker because Cobb is, at this point, Cobb is, oh, I drafted him early. I can't. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying Decker as well, Brandon. I'm on the same wagon as you. So the next question we got is James Starks or Chris Johnson? Who you got, B?
We got Starks or Johnson. Let's see. We got Starks going against the Mighty Vikings, and we got Johnson going against the Buying Gold. All right, so look. So, I mean, I know the Texans are not a good run team, you know, but I watched 3 running backs face the Cincinnati front, and they all got shut down. I mean, the Bengals are – they're damn – if not anything defensively, they're a damn good run-stopping team. Vontaze Burfict is getting his legs back under him. And, I mean, that guy, him and Vincent Ray, it looked like they were in on just every single tackle. And, I mean, they're hitting tackles for losses. I mean, they were doing their thing. So I think Chris Johnson's going to have a really tough matchup. Also, do not be shocked if Andre Ellington doesn't get some more touches. He's finally feeling healthy. He had a big, like, 40-some-odd yard touchdown about 2 weeks ago. And so I would not be surprised if they get him more active and involved. You know, Chris Johnson's a veteran, man. But, you know, he's a little older. He's a little banged up. And I can see them riding Ellington down this playoff stretch. So I would go Starks. I just like the fresher legs.
Yeah. I'm trying to, like, convince myself that I'm not being a homer right now. The Bengals don't give up 100-yard runners, folks. I mean, they played bad versus the Texans offensively, but we still shut out their running game. We don't give up a lot of – I mean, that's what we do. We stuff the middle. We stuff the run. And I'm with you, B. I think Andre Ellington has been getting his legs back. He had a blowout game last week. I mean, look, they paid Andre Ellington all this money, okay? They want him to perform, all right? Chris Johnson was just supposed to be a Band-Aid that ain't coming off, okay? That's basically what it's been. So I'm fading Chris Johnson. I don't think the Bengals at home on Sunday night in a game that everyone says that they're not going to win after their, you know, loss versus the Texans. I just don't think I can play Chris Johnson. I'm going with James Starks as well. You know, so next question I got for you, Brandon, it's going to be Russell Wilson or Mark Sanchez?
Oh, man. Oh, wow. You know what? Why not? I'm going to go Sanchez. I'm going to go Mark Sanchez, Tampa Bay. Look, I think Matt Castle should have really took advantage of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, he had the defense played well enough. They had some chances. They just didn't really take advantage, or he didn't truly take advantage. He missed some throws. He missed some big ones in some critical moments, and he didn't take enough shots. I think Sanchez will. Sanchez has nothing to lose. You know, this is a familiar spot for him. You know, he's come off the bench before, and he doesn't have to worry about getting the plug. He doesn't have to worry about playing flawless. He can just go out there and just have a game. And I like him. I think he played. I think he outplays Russell Wilson today. So I'd take Sanchez. So you got to have some hair on your balls to make that kind of move. So Sanchez, you take Sanchez over Wilson.
Yeah, I have Russell as my top five quarterback. So for me, he's a must start. So you got to go with Russell this week. That's my you know, go. I don't know why I like Russell this week. He plays San Francisco hard. I think they have to turn it around. Pete's got to do something to get Russell going, because if he doesn't get Russell going, they're going to struggle the rest of the year. Next question, B, we got Jeremy Hill or Jason Witten at my flex this week?
Oh, it's got to be Jason Witten. I think it's one. Let's just dive into Hill. You know, something's up with Jeremy Hill. Okay, Jeremy Hill ain't Jeremy Hill, if that makes sense. I don't, you know, I think it's easy to say injury or just something, but whatever it is, I mean, something's just not right. You know, I've watched him. I watched them try to get him involved. They try to get him the ball. It's just not working out. Something's not there. Geo looks faster. He looks sharper. And he just hadn't done it this year. He has not done it. And tonight is not, it's not the easiest matchup for him to get it done as well. You know, Arizona's a pretty good run team. Now, Jason Witten, on the other hand, even with, you know, these patchwork type quarterbacks with Witten and Castle, Jason Witten is still averaged about 6 targets a game. And now he went 5 for 5 last week. He had 6 receptions the week before. You know, so in this week, guess what? He gets back his best friend in Tony Romo, his BFF. And I mean, if that don't excite you as a Jason Witten owner, I don't know what will. So I think you gotta go Jason Witten.
I don't think it's even close either, B. I mean, Jeremy Hill's he's hot garbage. I've been saying this all year, and I'm going to continue to say it. I saw it coming. He gained a lot of weight. What we saw last year was Geo was just getting the defense to play wide because they're trying to take the screen plays out of the game when Geo got in the game, because they were planning for Geo. And then Jeremy Hill's a strong back, and he was just going up the field, and you know, we were getting him into the second level versus safeties, and they're clogging the middle. And if they clog the middle, Jeremy Hill's not going to go anywhere. It's Geo, and Geo's looked better in every aspect. And he had a couple of bad games, and he hasn't been able to shake it off, and now he's indecisive when he's running the holes. He's clearly missing big holes that are there for him. He had a run versus the Texans where he got 15 yards, and everyone was excited, and I was pissed because that was, should have been a 70-yard touchdown. You know, and that's looking at the game at the next level. You know what I'm saying, B? You look at a 15-yard run, the average fan gets excited, but the hole's there for a 70-yard bomb. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not excited. Yeah. He missed his cut. So Geo's the guy. And I know the Bengals keep throwing Jeremy Hill out there because they don't want to really – they don't want his confidence to get shot. They know Geo's comfortable where he is, because when the playoff comes, when it gets cold, we are going to need Jeremy Hill for those one-yard gains on fourth down or third and one and stuff. So, but we all know who the real starting running back there is, and it is Gio Bernard. So I don't think it's close. You got to go with Jason Witten. His best friend's back. They go to Cabo every year together. Come on. They're on the beach working on pass routes, okay? If they can do it on the sand, they can do it on the field, baby. I'm going Jason Witten.
Well, what's scary about Wood Hill, look, I mean, I watched Jeremy Hill last year. The emergence of Jeremy Hill scared me so bad that I gave Gio away, okay? I got Gio the hell out of my lineup because I was like, okay, this young guy is not going anywhere. But, you know, I was wrong. I mean, when you look at Jeremy Hill production, you know, the bulk of his production has came in two games, right? I mean, that's not great, you know, when we are in week 11, okay? He had one game where he got 3 touchdowns. He had another game where he got 2 touchdowns. So it took, like, multi-touchdown performances to get him in double digits, and still he didn't blow up the spot from a fantasy scoring standpoint. If I told you, Ty, a running back gets 3 touchdowns in 1 week, right, what do you think his fantasy points are?
30, at least.
At least 30, right? In his 3 touchdown performance, he got 24. You know why? Because he only rushed for 40 yards. And he had a 2-point conversion. In his 2
yeah.
touchdown performance, he only gave you 18 points. You know why? Because he only rushed for 63 yards. So, I mean, he hasn't sniffed 100 yards, okay? The bulk of his touchdown came in 2 games, and he's getting 15 to 16 carries a game. It's just not working out. Like, something's just not there. So, yeah, I don't think it's close. I think you go with.
Yeah. That's it, B. I don't have any more. Those are the 4 Twitter questions I got that I wanted to really go over.
All right, cool. So we went through our Twitter talk. Now we're going to go to our Fab 5. So for our Fab 5, we'll get the update on the scores and the rankings and see where everyone is, and so we can do our picks. But our Fab 5, you know, for any new listeners, basically there's 5 games each week that the guys pick. We don't pick point spreads. We just go old school. Win or lose, and we go through, we cover primetime games Monday night, Sunday night, and we try to have a little fun with it. So for the Fab 5, so what are the rankings thus far for this year?
Well, last week I went terrible. I went 1-4, and I'm at 27
wow.
and 13. Aaron had the best week at 3-2, and he's at 22-18. Brandon, you had a 2-3 week. You're at 18 for 22. So you got 18 right, 22 wrong. So we need a big week for
break
me. We need. I mean, you got to break 500. I mean, the year is coming close to an end. Okay, and I'm gonna get Aaron's pick and put it on there. But the first game we got is Indy versus Atlanta. I'll go first on this. I expect Indy to surprise Atlanta. That's my shock pick this week. That's my upset pick this week. Who you got, Brandon?
They're in Atlanta. It doesn't matter. I'm going Atlanta. I'm going to go safe. I'm going to go Atlanta. I'm 4 games back, man. I got to take the favor. I'm going to go Atlanta.
We got Kansas City and San Diego. Who you got, Brandon?
Oh, man, KC and San Diego. San Diego's let me down so many times. So many times. I'm going to go KC.
Yeah, I'm going KC, too. I think their defense has been playing amazing the last 3 weeks. If you look at their stats, their defense has been one of the top 5 in the NFL. I'm going KC as well. San Diego losing Keenan Allen. I mean, and Ladarius Green not at 100%. Antonio Gates probably playing at 70. I'm going KC. Green Bay versus Minnesota. I guess I'll go first on this. My heart and my head tells me to go Minnesota. Let me explain this to you, folks. My heart and my head tells me to go Minnesota because they are for real, folks. I mean, they are a good team. Do not get it. Don't get it mistaken. I mean, Minnesota, where are they? 7-2? 7-2.
Yeah.
They have a better record than the Packers. With all that said, I'm going with the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, man. I do not Green Bay losing three in a row. I cannot see them losing three games in a row. When in doubt, you got to go with the better quarterback. I'm going to go Green Bay as well. I'm going to go Green Bay.
All right, next game, Cincinnati versus Arizona. I actually think this game is in Arizona. Let me double-check this. I thought it was at Cincinnati. Nope, it's at Arizona. Cincinnati at University of Phoenix Stadium.
That changes everything. I'm going Arizona. I'm going Arizona. I think they pull out a win.
Well, the University of Phoenix laid me off, and nothing would feel better than my team going into their stomping ground and beating the fucking dog shit out of that team. I'm going Cincinnati, folks. They got to pull this out. Next game, Buffalo versus New England, and that's at New England. Who you got, B?
Man, if anyone was to upset New England, it would be fucking Rex Ryan. And it would just be that would be the one thing to help him keep a job in the freaking NFL. I mean, if this coach is a madman, okay? If you don't understand, this guy is crazy. He is off his rocker. And if anything could keep him in the NFL, this could be it. Oh, my God. I really want to go upset special. I really do. And I feel like I've been conservative in my first couple of picks. So I'm going to go Buffalo, upset in New England on Monday night. I'm going to go Buffalo.
I agree with you. If anyone can beat Tom Brady, it is Rex Ryan. Any day except Monday. I mean, Tom Brady's a different beast. Do you know what I'm saying? Sunday night, Sunday in the morning, Sunday at 3, Rex, I'm choosing Buffalo. But Monday night, Tom Brady knows the fucking everybody in the goddamn planet's watching, and they got to get more New England Patriot fans. So I'm going New England on the fact that
and
Tom
New
Brady
England should have lost last week, too. That's true.
Yeah,
they should have lost last week. Yeah. The Giants. I think got hosed on that that catch, by the way. But
yeah,
but yeah, I agree. They should have lost last week. Fucking New England.
So I'm going New England. So that's all I got for the Faith 5B.
All right. Well, we got an injury update. Wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, Emmanuel Sanders, will be inactive versus Chicago. He is not playing. So, man, this Denver and Chicago game is really interesting now because there's no Peyton Manning, no Matt Forte, no Alshon Jeffrey, no DeMarcus Ware. Like, I mean, damn. Like, it's a lot of big-name players in this game that are not playing. So, I'm going to really pay attention to that game. So Emmanuel Sanders is out. He will not play. So I guess like Cody Latimer or like, you know, Caldwell, one of them are going to have to step up. You know, so if Peyton was playing, I'd say, oh, well, it would be an interesting DFS to pick up like Latimer or Caldwell. But with Brock, we don't know. We just don't know what's going to go on. So, So anyway, so that's the quick injury update. So now we're going to go to our bold prediction. So we can take our time on this one. So what kind of bold prediction, man, are we cooking up for NFL Week 11?
Are we going to me first?
Yeah. Go ahead and kick us off. What you got, man?
Okay, so my bold prediction is this. The Bengals lose last week. And they lose last week pretty bad. And I think what they have come to the conclusion is you got to get the goddamn ball to the best player on the goddamn field, which is A.J. Green. So what A.J. Green's going to do this week, 12 catches, 170 yards, and a touchdown. Monster game for A.J. 12, 170, and a touchdown, B. That's my bold prediction.
Sorry, so you say A.J. goes 12, 170, and a touchdown.
Yes.
Okay. All right, my bold prediction, keeping with the wide receivers, I think Dez Bryant goes, he goes 9 for 165, two touchdowns today versus the Miami Dolphins. Dez Bryant, 9 catches, 165 yards, two touchdowns on the day for Dez Bryant. That's my bold prediction.
You let Michael Irvin beat your bold prediction. Michael Irvin said that Dez Bryant will have a better game than he ever had versus Miami, which was 12 for 183 and a touchdown. So you're going 9-4. I'm just throwing it out there.
See, Michael's going high volume. He's going high volume. See, I'm not going high volume because I keep in mind Jason Witten, Cole Beasley, they got to eat too, okay? But, see, Dez finds the end zone twice. He finds the end zone twice, and I think one of those catches he's going to turn into a really big play. Like, I'm talking like a third and, like, 8 or third and 12, and he turns into a big, big play. And that's where the 160 comes in. But I still say it's not going to be double-digit receptions. But he get two touchdowns, 165 yards. So, and then, you know, Michael Irvin is the ultimate homer. I mean, he's the ultimate one. He ain't had –
Yeah, he is. You're right.
I think Deion told him one day he has on a Dallas Cowboys underwear. So, I mean, he's the ultimate, you know, homer. I mean, he's way worse than me. But, I mean, those are two bold predictions. Now, what's our special deliveries for NFL Week 11? So, what special delivery you got cooked up?
Brandon, I'm sending Peyton Manning a whole bunch of nice, expensive suit. Because his career of becoming owner of the Tennessee Titans needs to be today and not tomorrow. He needs to go ahead and jump on and own the Tennessee Titans like he's been talking about and just go, it's over, buddy. You broke Brett Favre's passing record. Don't diminish your career by sticking around any longer. Help out the new rookie and then move on.
Wow, you think Peyton done, man?
Stick a fork in him.
Wow, Peyton Manning is done. All right, well, I mean, my special delivery. I'm going to Green Bay, man. I'm sending Aaron Rodgers. I'm sending him one of those powder on the palm, backhand, bitch slap in the face. Aaron Rodgers has got to snap out of it, okay? This guy is supposed to be the baddest man on the planet, one of the greatest quarterback in the league. He has not played like it. He hasn't looked like it. He's supposed to elevate the play of those shitty wide receivers in Green Bay. That's what he's done all his career. That's what he's done. He's elevated their play. So I'm getting some powder, I'm getting it on my hand, and I'm slapping the dog shit out of Aaron Rodgers to wake him up and get him going, okay? So that's what I'm sending to Aaron Rodgers this week. Act like you the bad man. Take back the throne, okay? He needs to get it done. So that's what I'm sending to him. That's what I'm sending in Minnesota today to Aaron Rodgers. Come on with it, man.
To Aaron Rodgers. Something's got to be sent to Aaron Rodgers. He needs to stop playing around.
I'm telling you, man. I'm putting the powder on there. I'm getting it ready.
B, I'm telling you this again. There's talks about him having Olivia, what's his girlfriend's name?
Olivia Moon.
there's talks that it's been rocky. All the girlfriends and the side pieces and the wives shut the fuck up for 17 weeks of the regular season, goddammit. Don't fight now. You got fucking 7-8 months to fight all you want, okay? During the football season, you let shit go, okay? He didn't do the dishes. He didn't take out the garbage, okay? He's got 2 losses in a row. Leave him alone. God damn, I just don't understand, B.
Unbelievable. So we're going to see how it unfolds. It's NFL Week 11. This is To The Point Fantasy Football Show. Thank you for listening. We hope you guys enjoy your games. We're going to get ready and get going ourselves. And so tune in next week, and we'll be talking with you soon. Fantasy football. This shit is real.